obligations to customers are sort of core and fundamental to everything that's done in this industry. And it's an important thing to sort of take a step back and look at the landscape.
Welcome to What's Ethical, a podcast sponsored by Warburton Advisors, where thought leaders engage on how they influence others and master ethical dilemmas, all with the aim towards helping listeners deliver a triple bottom line.
Welcome to our two renowned experts, Chris Hefner, cyber guru to boards, regulatory agencies, and think tanks, and Cassie Letcher, senior counsel at Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw Whitman and former deputy superintendent for New York's Department of Financial Services. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get into our discussion about the impact of the recently released SEC exam priorities, I'm going to give our audience sort of a rundown of what I would say would be five thematic takeaways. I'll jump right to it. Number one, I would say to our audience, give this release to your CTO, your chief technology officer, and your CISO. In a COVID world, cybersecurity really is at the top of the heap. It's king. And the InfoSec section, as well as page three, really show that focus. Number two, a theme that I took away was that even more so in 2021, a regulatory exam is more than a check on controls. The recently renamed exams division, you read that release, you see the first 15 pages and the end talk all about infrastructure, policy, collaboration with non-US regulators. It talks about the real breadth of this division, as well as a lot of the proactive programs, this new event and emerging risks exam team. Number three, sort of following in on that theme, that emerging risks are in scope now. There isn't going to be a delay in hopping on and focusing in on two megatrends we've been talking about. One is ESG and the other is fintech and digital assets. Four is a familiar takeaway, but a reminder to our audience that conflicts remain a systemic risk, whether it's Reg BI or CRS documentation, or different conflicts about fees and expenses. This release gives compliance and risk officers just a reminder that you should really involve your CFO in your disclosures and have a disclosure committee or somehow focusing on your disclosures about conflicts. And lastly, a theme about investor protection and retail as the highest priority isn't very much a surprise, but it's definitely something that we want our audience to take away. If you look at the release, you can see that almost all products that we could think of are listed there, as well as AML and custody, a lot of familiar topics, but definitely taking a look at the products that are listed there would be super helpful. So why don't I start with you, Chris? Let's imagine for a moment that you are a chief executive officer. And as a CEO, what do you think this announcement really means? And as you answer, you're thinking that our audience are going to be counseling the CEOs. So it's helpful if you could put us in their shoes, perhaps as you counsel CEOs in your work.
Sure. Thank you. So if I put my CEO hat on, and I think about cybersecurity, it's really about, number one, is technology calibrated to enable the business? And if it's calibrated to enable the business, it should inherently have the appropriate safeguards to ensure that the confidentiality, the integrity of those transactions, and the availability of those actions are maintained throughout the business lifecycle. If any of those three areas is compromised as a result of poor cyber hygiene, you then come into question operational resilience and business impact. So as a chief executive, and quite frankly, as a board member I'm always pressing management on ensuring that we're articulating cyber, a very technical issue, to expressing business outcomes. And if we can't express those business outcomes in a way that's understandable and actionable, then we really need to rethink how we calibrate and manage cybersecurity risk across the enterprise.
Resiliency really is a word for, I guess, 2020 and 2021. So Cassie, I know that you counsel CEOs now, and as a compliance officer, you were probably looking at these annual announcements and counseling top management. What was your main takeaway, and how do you think that CEOs perceive these annual announcements when they hear about them from compliance officers?
Now, I think when I was in house, and I think there is a lot of attention paid, especially to the annual announcement. Sort of, it is an opportunity for the regulator to take a step back and to sort of tell people what's coming in the upcoming year. And a lot of people really do pay attention to that. And the SEC does tend to actually follow their roadmap in terms of exams, as I think we all know. And I think that some of the messages here, and especially the resiliency message, is really important, as we've seen that COVID and technology has been so reliant. All of the companies we work with are completely reliant on technology, and the market is evolving. Fintech, digital assets, things are evolving, and making sure that the core technology and resiliency to support all of this innovation is just important for the business to proceed, for compliance to operate, for regulatory reporting. And this is something that we see, it's sort of transforming across the universe. When Chris was talking, I was thinking, yes, we have to make sure that the CTO sees these things and things, and the CEO has to make, really also has to understand. Everybody has to understand technology, how it works, how it's using to best serve investors in this day and age.
Yeah, and it's interesting. If you were a compliance officer and you needed to put forth your plan, or you're in front of the CEO at the end of the year, if you're a FINRA member and you're doing the certification, right? These priorities should be the bookends for the beginning of the year as you're doing your plan and at the end of the year. And it's a really good opportunity for those in the audience to show that as risk personnel, you're strategic, because you are doing the blocking and tackling and the important issues that come up day to day. But an announcement like this shows that you know what the regulatory environment is. You can have a perspective on the change of administrations and how many of the themes have carried over despite a major change in the top of the house of the securities regulators and others in the administration.
I was just going to note in that, and they've also given recognition to RegTech and the technology can help them as regulators to work with the industry. So sort of brings it all around.
Yeah, it certainly does. And maybe that's a good segue into the next question about, as a CCO, and you have taken a look at these priority lists and you see you have some work to do on certain topics. Maybe it's understanding your RegTech and making sure that you really do have a good oversight for the technology you use, or any of the other topics that were listed. I'll start with you, Cassie. How do you recommend the CEO sort of approach tackling gaps that might come from this announcement?
Well, we've talked a lot about the technology aspect, and so I won't repeat that, although I think that certainly diving into the technology and understanding it's important. You know, you also mentioned conflicts, and that does really pervade a lot of the release and a lot of the issues that the SEC has been talking about over the last several years. I mean, with Reg BI, with fiduciary standards for investment advisors, what is the standard of care for brokers? And these are subjects that are of great interest to the regulator, and if they're sort of nothing else that people understand, is trying to understand what the rules are and what their obligations are to customers. Obligations to customers are sort of core and fundamental to everything that's done in this industry. And it's an important thing to sort of take a step back and look at the landscape.
Yeah, it could be. I guess what I'm hearing you say is it could be an educational tool, yes. Or perhaps even educate the business about the risks, or even to ask for resources as you need it. Chris, from your perspective, what would you recommend that the compliance and the risk personnel, how they would use these priorities as they're calibrating and thinking about the year ahead?
Yeah, I've always used these opportunities to reinforce the muscle around compliance, risk management practices, an opportunity to examine the current policies and procedures to ensure they're aligned and succinct with the heightened or renewed expectations from the regulator, in this case, the FCC. I've always engaged the business as a former CISO on a targeted assessment to understand the level of compliance associated with the business aligned to the new heightened expectations. And it's always best to conduct those internal assessments in-house versus being surprised by the regulators. And if you do identify pockets of your non-compliance, it gives you the opportunity to put together a remediation plan versus it being forced upon you by the regulators.
Risk assessment, so important. It's true. And it's interesting, in the announcement, there was not a lot of discussion about the basics of a compliance program, policies, procedures, and risk assessments. But that's a really good reminder that you should be updating them based on this and based on what you perceive you have work to do in the coming year. So I'm gonna go a little bit at a higher level. And as this podcast is aptly named, What's Ethical? I'll start with you, Chris. When we talk about announcements of regulatory priorities and the C-suite thinking about it and using that as a way to decide what's important for the year and their strategy, the juxtaposition of that work along with promoting ethical behavior or good business judgment, like how do you deal with what could be opposing concepts? One is to be surgical and only do compliance as one predicts the regulators are going to focus. And the other is to make sure that the way in which you're conducting business is in line with business ethics and norms that we think of as ethical conduct. And so when you are working either on your own work or as you're advising others, how do you strike that balance? So this way you're educating about the priorities, but you're not sort of diminishing the need to also consider ethical conduct.
It is a bit of a balance, but I do see good business having embraced ethical behavior, ethical conduct. It's the old adage of let's do the right thing by our stakeholders, by our investor community. Let's ensure, maintain a level of integrity and transparency around our methodologies and approach and the way we go about doing business. And certainly, you know, from a digital risk, cybersecurity perspective, there's a degree of establishing a level of seatbelts and determining risk tolerance in terms of how much exposure you're willing to take as you look to expand your business. And it's ultimately about balancing that return on investment on behalf of your investor community and your stakeholders, combined with, you know, the level of risk that you're willing to take. And having that, you know, compass within the business environment should be centered based on that ethical expectation.
Thank you. And Cassie, as you're deep in digital assets, that might even be more germane for those that are working in innovative spaces as to how you meet regulatory expectations, but you're still building foundations that, you know, there isn't a lot of regulatory guidance. Maybe you can give us a sense as to how you strike that balance.
You know, and it is true, there are a lot of areas here that there aren't a lot of regulatory guidance, but I think in both doing what's ethical and in financial services generally, and also as good business matter, I mean, in all those cases, sort of talking to people about putting clients first is really, what is at the heart of what we're talking about. And that's at the heart really of good business judgments in order to build a successful businesses. Businesses are usually more successful when they have put clients first and put in place measures to protect clients' money. And ethical decision-making really is a question of putting clients first. And you can see that weaving through both the SEC pronouncement, but also in what a lot of these new fintech companies are trying to do to develop good business plans. And they're promoting themselves and developing systems to be safer, more secure, give customers more options with respect to their financial holdings. And so, yes, there can be dichotomies between sort of the business, the ethical thing, but putting clients first, I think, is sort of core to both.
I love it. It's a really great way to round out the podcast. When I think of a mentor who once said, you know, all of us in risk are about client assurance, and that really when you needed to have a North Star, it was what's in the customer's best interest. That really is a great way to sum it up. Well, thank you both for your time. Really appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
Learn more about delivering a triple bottom line by visiting warburtonadvisors.com. And remember to share and like this podcast so others can find it more easily.